Thank you very much, Pradyumna Prabhu, for that generous introduction. I'm really happy to be with all of you. Hare Krishna. Jai Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhadi.
Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhadi.
Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhadi. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana.
Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana.
Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayom Vishnupad Paramhansa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtotara Sat His Divine Grace Abhay Charana Aravind Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Madhava Ki Jai Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tadati Svapadantikam. Vande ham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanpitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vedadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya
Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya
Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna. It is so nice that In ISKCON Leicester, we have this series of lectures given by different devotees on the topic of the well-known conversations that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had with certain very, very special devotees. And specifically in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, there is mention of five. And I'm told you've been hearing Mahaprabhu's discussions with other devotees earlier. And today we are going to discuss Mahaprabhu's conversation with Ramananda Rai. Now, it is very difficult to accommodate such an interesting and elaborate discussion in just the span of 45 minutes or so, or 40 minutes, 50 minutes even. And especially if you want to consider the purports of Srila Prabhupada as well. But I think still it's a good idea to have a kind of a summary study of the conversations in this time, so that everybody can have a kind of a glimpse of what the teachings are, and then those who are interested can actually go deeper and further into it. So it's a very good idea to have this series of lectures, and I commend Pradyumna Prabhu and the devotees in the team there who have decided this. Before we begin the conversation, let me speak a few words about Ramananda Rai first, so that we get to appreciate the reasons behind this conversation. By the way, in the community of devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these famous conversations are either called Samvad or Shiksha. For example, the teachings to Rupa Goswami are called Rupa Shiksha, to Sanatan Goswami they are called Sanatan Shiksha, and the conversation between Ramananda Rai and Mahaprabhu is called Rai Ramananda Samvad. Samvad means a conversation or a dialogue, and it's not called Shiksha or teachings for an interesting reason, that normally it is the devotees who inquire from the Lord and gain knowledge and mercy through the instructions that the Lord gives. But in this case, it is the opposite. It is the Lord who inquires from the devotee, and the devotee then actually proceeds to shower the nectar of the jewels of Krishna conscious conclusions. Now, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has compared Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to an ocean of transcendental knowledge. And he has compared Ramananda Rai to a cloud that has drawn up some water from that ocean and then proceeds to shower a rain into that very ocean. Meaning that it is only by Mahaprabhu's mercy that Ramananda Rai has been infused internally with all the conclusions of ecstatic devotional service in the mood of Vrindavan. So Ramananda Rai has become, by Mahaprabhu's mercy, a repository or a storehouse of such devotional conclusions. And he's also, in the words of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, an Adhikari Rasika Bhakta. Adhikari means one who is very qualified or eligible. Rasika indicates one who is able to relish the higher rasas or the transcendental mellows of ecstatic devotional service. And Bhakta means a devotee. So, no individual who has such an intimate dealing with the Supreme Lord can be an ordinary devotee. And especially if we consider that the Lord has actually used that devotee as an instrument to broadcast to the world very, very confidential instructions and information about transcendental, spontaneous devotional service. Ramananda Rai is a very intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is considered amongst the 3.5 most intimate associates of Mahaprabhu. And it is said by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that Ramananda Rai is actually Vishakha Sakhi in Vrindavan. So Vishakha has manifested in God Leela as Ramananda Rai. He is actually the combination of several personalities, including Arjuniya Gopi. Arjuna, who has appeared in Vraja Leela as Arjuniya Gopi. So anyway, that is his identity in the spiritual world, in Vrindavan. So he was born in Alalanath, and he was from a community that was not considered very spiritually elevated, not from a so-called-unquote Brahmin family. He later became a governor of the province that is today called Andhra Pradesh, which was under King Prataparudra of Neelachal or Odisha. Now, he was very learned in the scriptures. He was a great devotee as well. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard that Mahaprabhu was planning to go from Jagannath Puri to South India on a pilgrimage tour, he offered him some gifts of some clothing and also made a special request that he should go to Vidyanagar, which was on the banks of the Godavari, and meet Ramananda Rai there, who was a government officer, the governor there. And he requested Mahaprabhu to not think Ramananda Rai to be an ordinary person because of his quote-unquote not-so-high birth. But actually, he is the only one who is really eligible to get the personal association of Mahaprabhu. It is only he who is fit for your association, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told him. No one compares to him in knowledge of rasa, transcendental mellow. And when you actually converse with him, you will realize his exalted knowledge, his devotional status. And Sarvabhauma makes a confession. He says, initially when I met him, even I did not realize his greatness. It is only later by your mercy that I have understood how great Ramananda Rai is. So Ramananda Rai therefore is a very, very special personality. And Mahaprabhu had this dialogue or conversation with him on the banks of the Godavari. When Mahaprabhu set out from Jagannath Puri towards South India, he more or less walked along the coast. He came to the place called Kurma Kshetra or Kurmasthan, which has a famous ancient temple of Lord Kurma, the tortoise incarnation of the Lord. And then he went further down to Simhachalam, which has the famous ancient deity of Jira Narasimha. And then he went further on down south. He came to Vidyanagar. He crossed the Godavari River by boat. He reached the other side and he sat there. And at that time, Ramananda Rai, who came there with a retinue of soldiers and ministers and priests also accompanying him. And when he saw this most effulgent sannyasi standing or sitting there, he was very captivated, and he approached him and offered obeisances. Mahaprabhu asked him for his introduction, and he said he was just a fallen person. Mahaprabhu understood this was Ramananda Rai. He embraced him, and the two of them developed ecstatic symptoms. And the onlookers there were struck with wonder to see this. Eventually, the two of them controlled themselves and then decided to meet the next day at the same place for further conversations on Krishna. Of course, at that place, they both glorified each other. So we won't go into the details of that. But suffice it to say that Ramananda Rai was eagerly looking forward to associating with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the next day. And they met. Mahaprabhu was greatly eager to glorify Ramananda Rai. How is that? Because he wanted Ramananda Rai to become an instrument to reveal these very confidential and deep conclusions of rasa tattva, of the goal of life. It is the Lord who wants to give credit to the devotee for everything. The Lord wants to glorify the devotees inasmuch as the devotees want to glorify the Lord. So there is a kind of a transcendental competition between the Lord and the devotee in glorifying each other. So in any case, Mahaprabhu's first question to Ramananda Rai as they sat down comfortably was, Pado shloka sadhyara nirnaya. Now I won't be able to narrate too many shlokas because of the paucity of time, but perhaps just a couple of important ones I might just mention in the passing. Otherwise, I'll mostly just go ahead and make it a descriptive class because we have to accommodate many topics. So, sadhya refers to the goal. Nirnaya refers to the ascertainment. So, Mahaprabhu's question is, Pado shloka sadhyara nirnaya, which means, please recite a verse that will give us the ascertainment of the goal of life. And Rai's reply was, Swadharma acharane Vishnu bhakti hoy. That just by discharging one's occupational duty according to Varnashrama dharma, automatically one can make one's life perfect. He quoted a verse from the Vishnu Puran, Varnashrama acharvata purushena parhapuman Vishnu raradhyate pantha nanyat tattosha karanam, which means by properly performing one's occupational duties in the Varnashrama Dharma, Lord Vishnu is very pleased, and there is no other way that can please Lord Vishnu. So, Varnashrama Dharma, of course, has been established by the Supreme Lord Himself, and He declares this even in the Bhagavad Gita. However, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, He says, Eho bahya age kaho ar. Now, the word bahya means external. Age kaho ar means speak, go ahead, speak something more. So, it is not that Mahaprabhu rejected the Varnashrama Dharma, but what he intended to say by saying Eho bahya is that ultimately Varnashrama Dharma is material. It's a material arrangement of the social and spiritual statuses of life within human society. But this arrangement, though required for gradual purification and advancement in spiritual life, is still a material arrangement. So, he was not satisfied. He said, go ahead and speak something more. So then Rai spoke about Krishna Karmarpana. Krishna Karmarpana Sarva Sadhya Sar. So the essence of sadhya or perfection is to arpana, to offer karma, one's activities to Krishna. So, Krishna, karma, arpana. So, offering the results of one's activities to Krishna. So, this is a little better because here you're not simply performing your occupational duties, but when you do your occupational duties, you are taking the fruits of those activities and then offering them to Krishna. So, you go one step further. And he quoted the Bhagavad Gita shloka, Yat Karoshi, Yad Ashnasi, etc. In which Krishna says that whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer in sacrifice, whatever you give away in charity, whatever austerities you perform, you do it as an offering unto me. So Mahaprabhu was still not happy with this. He says, Eho bahya age kaho ar. This also is external. What is it that he found external? So, even though there is karma phalatyaga, there is the renunciation or the offering of the fruits of one's karma to Krishna, still inherently the activities are material. So therefore Mahaprabhu wanted to go a little higher. So Ramananda Rai replied at that stage, Swadharma Tyag e Sadhya Sar. So the essence of perfection is Swadharma Tyag, to give up one's occupational duties according to Varnashrama Dharma. So Karma Tyag, the earlier was Karma Phala Tyag, to give up the fruits of one's activities for Krishna. And here it is not Karma Phala Tyag, but Karma Tyag, that means to renounce one's very, the activities themselves. So, and basically to give up your occupational duties essentially indicates taking of sannyas or the renounced order. And Ramananda Rai quoted the famous Bhagavad Gita verse, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. So when Mahaprabhu heard this, he considered it, but still says, Eho Bahya Agi Kaho Ar. This is still external. Why is it external? Because one is still not engaged in spiritual activities. Merely taking sannyas, doing karma sannyas as a formality, as a routine, is not going to take one very far. It may perhaps get one eventually by very stiff renunciation and austerity to a point where one may negate, material life. But even that to a large degree will not be possible in this. But it is still not devotion. Because he had not come to the point of actual devotional service to the Lord, Mahaprabhu was not satisfied. So, after Swadharma Tyag, then Mahaprabhu says, Eho Bahya Aage Kaho Ar. And at that time, Rai Ramananda says, Jnana Mishra Bhakti Sadhya Sar. So he now comes to the point of bhakti and says, that bhakti which is devoid of any type of mental speculation. Because you see, on the path of sannyas, traditionally, conventionally, not Vaishnava sannyas, but the other forms of sannyas, karma sannyas, there is involvement in either austerities or some speculative activities and so on. So here, but there is no tinge of devotion. So now Ramananda Rai is saying that let there be some speculative knowledge, but it should be done in connection with devotional service to the Supreme Lord. And at that time he quotes the verse again from the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Nashochiti Nakangshiti Samah Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mat Bhaktim Labhate Param, in which Krishna says in the 18th chapter that when one is situated on the platform of the soul, on the spiritual platform, then actually one can begin devotion to the Supreme Lord, because bhakti is a devotional activity. So this is the path of Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Mishra means mixed. So that devotion which is based on philosophy and logic, in the words of Srila Prabhupada, that devotion which is mixed with some kind of speculative endeavors. So Mahaprabhu is still not satisfied with this. And he says, Eho Bahya Agi Kaho Ar. Because when one takes to the path of mental speculation, of philosophical speculation, na iti, not this, not this, not this, you try to negate the material. But then negation of the material is not necessarily the attainment of the spiritual. By mere negation of the material, one may come to an intermediate neutral platform, but one may not have access to the positive elements of the spiritual platform. So Mahaprabhu didn't approve of this kind of an impersonal speculative process. So he said, Aage kaho, Eho Bahya Aage Kaho Ar. And then Ramananda Rai said, ज्ञान शून्य भक्ति साध्य सार. सो दैट द एसेंस ऑफ डिवोशन ऑफ लाइफ ऑफ द परफेक्शन ऑफ लाइफ इज टू हैव भक्ति और डिवोशन विच इज डिवॉइड ऑफ मेंटल स्पेक्यूलेशन. So that is a very important point. And basically, in the so far, even in the previous one in Jnana Mishra Bhakti, there is no trace of any attempt to revive one's eternal relationship with the Lord in love. Whereas here in Jnana Shunya Bhakti, that is very much there. So then Ramananda Rai spoke this very famous verse of Brahma from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Jnane prayasamudapasya namantya eva jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiya vartam sthane sthita shudikatam tanuvan manopir ye prayaso jitajitopyasita istrilokyam. In which Brahma says that for one who gives up this speculative mentality, this Jnana Mishra type of a mentality, and engages in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord in whatever stage of life one may be in, sthane sthita, and one offers obeisances to the Lord, one hears and chants about the Lord, and tries to develop the eternal relationship that one has with the Lord, then that is very important. So that is the essential goal of life. Now what Ramananda Rai has said here is very important, because in this verse, Jnane prayasamudapasya namantya eva, Brahma is speaking about the importance of hearing and chanting about Krishna, reciting his messages and chanting his holy names, etc. Now for the first time upon hearing this, instead of saying eho bahya, it is external, Mahaprabhu says eho hoy, that yes, I agree, this is true. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that Srila Prabhupada mentions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts this process of hearing and chanting about the Lord as the basic principle of perfection. So perfection can begin not unless one has taken to the association of devotees and accepted the process of hearing and chanting wholeheartedly. Of course, the devotees must be bona fide devotees. They must not be devotees whose devotion is mixed with speculative philosophy or with fruitive activity, etc. So this is a turning point in the discussion, because now Mahaprabhu has said that let us proceed from this point on of the process of hearing and chanting. So Mahaprabhu is happy, but he still says there is a lot more. Aage kaho aur, go on, speak more. And Ramananda Rai says prema bhakti sarva sadhya sar. So the idea that one should hear and chant about the Lord is very important, it is very nice, but at the same time it is ordinary devotional service. And when that ordinary devotional service is performed sincerely and regularly, then it can mature into ecstatic devotional service. So one has to go through the process, Srila Prabhupada explains, of sadhana bhakti. Sadhana is the stage of practice and sadhya is the stage of perfection. Remember, the question that Mahaprabhu has asked is about sadhya, about perfection. So sadhana is the stage where one practices devotional service. One has not become perfect. So in the initial stage, one practices devotional service out of some faith and out of obedience to the instructions of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas and the scriptures. And as one makes advancement, one's devotion becomes deeper and it becomes more spontaneously executed. So then, this process of ecstatic love of God It's called a rag marga. Marg means a path. Rag means intense attachment. So devotion that is, or devotional service that is rendered out of, spontaneously out of intense attachment to the Supreme Lord, that comes under rag marga. And this is typically exemplified by the devotees of Vrindavan. So now, having mentioned prema bhakti, now this is so further talks between Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai are going to be based on the platform of spontaneous devotional service. Now, in this stage of raga marga, service to Krishna is rendered out of greed. In the earlier part of sadhana bhakti, where there is vaidhi bhakti and raganuga bhakti, especially in vaidhi bhakti, one's devotion is rendered out of obedience and faith. In raganuga bhakti, there is obedience, but it is done more spontaneously. One acquires a lot of taste for serving. There is a very natural inclination to serve. And as that natural inclination deepens and progresses, and one reaches ultimately the stage of serving Krishna out of total greed. So it is based on this platform of spontaneous love, which is prema bhakti, that the discussion further continues. Now, Ramananda Rai then goes on to explain, because Mahaprabhu keeps asking, keeps egging him on, keeps saying, more, 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 eho hoy, age koho ar, eho hoy. So all the time now, instead of saying eho bhaiya, he says eho hoy. But continue, go higher, higher, higher. So having come to the platform of prema bhakti, or pure, spontaneous love for the Supreme Lord, when he asks him to go higher, now he starts talking about the rasas. So, when love of Godhead is elevated to the personal platform, then it is called prema bhakti. And in the beginning of prema bhakti, there is no particular relationship between the devotee and the Lord. This is how Srila Prabhupada explains it in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. But as the devotee continues, a relationship with the Lord develops and is manifested in different flavors. So, now Ramananda Rai starts outlining these different flavors or rasas or mellows. So as the relationship with Krishna increases in affection, the mood of fear and consciousness of the superiority of the Lord that existed previously now diminishes. Even on the platform of pure love, there is a spirit of considering the Lord to be the master and oneself to be subordinate. So in this way, the more one progresses, one even transcends that feeling of the Lord being superior and one being subordinate. Then one comes to the sakhiras. So from prema bhakti, Ramananda Rai came to the platform of dasyara, so the service to the Lord in the mood of a servant. So in dasyaras, there is a clear distinction. There is proper appreciation of the greatness of the Lord, but a spirit of personal service has strongly manifested, which doesn't exist in the earlier stages of devotion. And now the devotee can serve as a servant, but further on there is a development of the sakhyaras, or the feeling of considering the Lord as one's friend. In dasyaras, there is a feeling that the Lord is superior and I am the subordinate. But in the mood of fraternity or friendship or sakhyaras, the devotee feels, I am equal to the Lord. I am the Lord's friend. And in this way, there is a kind of sense of equality. And therefore, we see that the cowherd boys in Vrindavan, they play with Krishna, they eat together with him in the forest, they frolic together, they have many, many wonderful pastimes together. When the affection and fraternal devotion, that is Sakyaras, increases even more, it develops into what is called the paternal relationship, which means Vatsalyaras, wherein the devotee considers himself or herself as a parent of Krishna. At each stage, of course, Ramananda Rai gives evidence from the scripture. He cites some verses, but I am not citing them in order to save time. So, when he comes to Vatsalya Ras, he explains further about, he gives some examples about the devotion of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and their good fortune. So, in the ordinary devotional service, there is a neutrality. The sense of service has not developed that much. In the mood of Dasya, there is a mood of being subordinate. In the mood of Sakya, there is a mood of being equal. And in the mood of, in the mellow of Vatsalya, or the paternal ras, actually the devotee feels superior to Krishna. Superior in the sense that he or she feels that Krishna is dependent on me. Krishna is my son or my dependent. And I must take care of him. And if I don't take care of him, then Krishna will, some harm may come to Krishna. He may fall sick. Or he may commit some mistake that will cause harm to himself. So the devotee becomes protective about Krishna, even though Krishna is the ultimate protector for everyone. This is because of the deepening of the affection. And further, as one goes higher and higher, deeper and deeper, then one comes to the platform of conjugal rasa, madhuri rasa, in which there is complete intimacy. There is no inhibition at all. So all the way through, having spoken about, now Ramananda Rai speaks of Kanta Prem. Kanta Prem means the conjugal mood. So Srila Prabhupada explains that Ramananda Rai has moved from the ordinary conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the conception of master and servant. And when this becomes confidential, it develops into a friendly relationship. And from a friendly relationship, it develops further and becomes paternal. And when it develops to the highest point of love, it is known as conjugal love. And to illustrate the conjugal love, he gives the example of the rasa dance. And how the gopis were fortunate to participate in the rasa leela, but even the goddess of fortune did not have that opportunity, did not have that fortune. So, Srila Prabhupada also mentions here, Ramananda Rai actually quotes and says that spiritual affection for the Lord is transcendental in all cases, but the individual devotee has a specific aptitude for a particular relationship, and that relationship is more relishable for him than others. Meaning that it is not that every devotee who takes to this path will naturally progress onwards to the conjugal mood. In some cases it may happen. In some cases the devotee's natural mood may be at Dasyaras or at Sakya or Vatsalya. And because that devotee's inherent spiritual aptitude is for that type of service or relationship with Krishna, so he or she would be completely satisfied in that mood. So in this way, Ramananda Rai speaks about rasa tattva, and he also gives the example of how the different mahabhutas, you know, earth, water, fire, air, ether, just as they manifest progressively, one after the other. And in the process, they also yield the tanmatras, which is the sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. And of the material elements, five material elements, it is ether, which is the most subtle, and earth, which is the least subtle. And beginning from ether, which has a certain quality, which is sound, and then going on to air, fire, water, ether, there is an addition progressively of one quality each time. One tanmatra, one sense is added. And eventually earth, which is the grossest of them all, has the qualities associated with all the previous elements, and plus it has an extra quality. So similarly, each rasa has the qualities that are found in the previous rasas, but also it has a quality that is not found in the previous rasas. So ultimately, the conjugal ras has the qualities of the previous rasas, but also something special, something extraordinary that does not exist in the other rasas. So Ramananda Rai also distinguishes between here tattva and rasa. Now, Prabhupada explains it, I'm just summarizing how Srila Prabhupada explains it, that whilst Krishna, whether in Vaikuntha as a four-armed Narayan, or in Dwarka as Rukmini Raman, or in Krishna as Radha Raman, is the same. So Lakshmipati in Vaikuntha, Rukmini Raman in Dwarka, and Radha Raman in Vrindavan are all the same one personality, Krishna. So in tattva, in truth, in principle, they are the same personality. But yet, there is a difference between them. And that difference is one of rasa, of mellow. Because the way that the Lord deals with his devotees in these three different places is different. There is a spirit of awe and reverence with which the devotees in Vaikuntha deal with the Lord. And that is substantially diminished in Dwarka. There is much more sweetness in the relationship. But when it comes to Vrindavan, there is a perfection of sweetness, unlimited sweetness that exists there. So the intimacy that exists between Krishna and his devotees in Vrindavan is unparalleled. Therefore, Prabhupada explains that even though there is a oneness in terms of tattva or truth, but one cannot equate Lakshmipati with Rukmini Raman and Radha Raman. So this is called Rasabhas, or the fault of overlapping tastes or mellows. Because a devotee cannot deal in Vrindavan in the same mood that he deals with the Lord in Vaikuntha, or vice versa. So this is an important point that is made here. So there is ordinary devotional service, there is devotional service in Vaikuntha, devotional service in Dwarka, and devotional service in Vrindavan. So there is a kind of hierarchy. So, after describing the glory of the relationship between the gopis and Krishna, Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Rai to go even further. And Ramananda Rai remarked that this was the first time he had been asked to go further than the gopis in an attempt to understand Krishna. Because he says, I can't think of anything that is higher, but nevertheless, since you are asking me, you are the puppeteer, I am a stringed instrument and you're just vibrating the strings and I'm speaking whatever you wish me to speak. This has been the mood of Ramananda Rai all through this conversation. So then, the idea is that Mahaprabhu wants him to come up from ordinary conjugal love, which is exemplified in Vrindavan, especially by the gopis. Conjugal love exists in Dwarka and in Vaikuntha, but of a slightly different mellow, as I just mentioned. But in Vrindavan, it is the gopis. Now, even though the gopis are so special, But Mahaprabhu wants him to go even further and wants him to come to the point of Srimati Radharani. That's the whole idea. So, it is explained that one who wants to understand the relationship between Radharani and Krishna in conjugal love, that relationship is the most perfect. So one has to follow in the footsteps of the damsels of Raja in order to be able to understand this most transcendental relationship. And then Ramananda Rai begins glorifying Srimati Radharani, that she is the only gopi who is so dear to Krishna that even when all the other gopis are present, if Radharani is not there, then Krishna is not satisfied. And he gives certain verses in which Krishna actually leaves the company of the gopis when Srimati Radharani is not there. And then he speaks about the rasa dance in which Krishna expanded himself and accompanied each gopi. But Ramananda Rai's conclusion is the perfection of the rasa dance was considered to be perfect due to Radharani's presence. And in Radharani's absence, he felt the dance was disrupted. In other words, Krishna could not enjoy pastimes with the gopis in the absence of Srimati Radharani. Now, so having established the position and the glory of Srimati Radharani, Mahaprabhu wants him to go even further. At this point, Srila Prabhupada also gives an indication of how Mahaprabhu, through this dialogue, is actually sending out a message to the world that Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi. He was born in an aristocratic, very learned, pure Brahmana family. And Ramananda Rai was not born in a Brahmana family. He was born in a community that was in those days considered at a lower level. Yet, Mahaprabhu thought Ramananda Rai a fit candidate to be like his guru, in the sense that he asked him questions. And he got Ramananda Rai to answer all these questions. So Srila Prabhupada says the lesson to learn from here is that one should not think in terms of a guru materially. It doesn't matter what the birth or the background of a personality is. If one knows the science of Krishna, one is eligible to teach others about Krishna. And one should unhesitatingly accept such a person as Krishna. And Prabhupada gives two examples here. One is of Sri Rasikananda, who accepted Shyamananda as his guru, and also of Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, who accepted Narottam Das Thakur as his guru. So Ganga Narayan Chakravarti was also from a Brahmana community and Narottam Das Thakur was not. But Narottam Das Thakur was so exalted that Ganga Narayan Chakravarti happily accepted him as his guru. So this is an interesting and important message that Prabhupada mentions here. He also speaks about the Kama Gayatri Mantra, wherein he says that actually when Krishna plays the flute, as is mentioned in the Brahma Samhita, then that enters into the creator Brahma's ear as the Omkar, Om. And then it comes out of Brahma's mouth as the Gayatri Mantra, and specifically the Kama Gayatri Mantra. So then Brahma attained all Vedic knowledge through this Gayatri Mantra. Also, there is some description of the beauty of Krishna and also of the spiritual energies of Krishna. And that Srimati Radharani is the spiritual the personification of the internal bliss potency of Krishna, as is indicated also in the Brahma Samhita. So when the Ladini Shakti is further condensed, it is called Mahabhava. And Srimati Radharani is the personification of that Mahabhava. So But he, Ramananda Rai, goes on to explain in very esoteric terms the glories of Radharani, the kind of transcendental emotions that she experiences, her unique position, the matchless qualities of Srimati Radharani, which are incomparable. Even the queens of Dwarka and others do not have these qualities. He also speaks about how one should try to understand the love of Radha and Krishna. And finally, he speaks about entering the confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna. That we can do that only by following in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan. So, he speaks about the sakhis and the manjaris and so on. He glorifies the gopis as being not of this world. He speaks about the spiritual bodies that they all have, spiritual bodies. The relationship between the gopis and Krishna, Radharani and Krishna, is not to be considered an ordinary material relationship. And in conclusion, Ramananda Rai answers what one would in today's time call rapid fire questions. You know, one by one, quick questions, quick answers. So the first question he asks is, what is the highest standard of education? And Ramananda Rai replies, the knowledge of the science of Krishna. So the standard of material education is sense gratification. But Krishna consciousness is different. The highest education is different. The highest education is the knowledge of the science of Krishna. The second question, what is the greatest reputation one can have? And Ramananda Rai replies that a person reputed to be Krishna conscious should be considered most famous in the world. So being a pure devotee of the Lord is actually true fame, true renown. He gives the examples, Prabhupada gives the examples of the 12 Mahajans. And there are various other aspects that Prabhupada mentions in the purport. The third question, what is the most valuable thing in the world? And Ramananda Rai's reply is, he who has love for Radha Krishna possesses the most valuable jewel and the greatest riches. So this has to be distinguished from the material conception of wealth, where one considers wealth in terms of the money of this world, or gold and diamonds, or property or assets and such things. But these are all perishable items and they don't have lasting value. But what is of true value is love for Radha Krishna, which is the greatest jewel one can possess. And therefore, one who has this is the wealthiest person in the world. The next question that Mahaprabhu asks Ramananda Rai is, what is the most painful existence? And interestingly, Ramananda Rai replies that separation from a pure devotee constitutes the most painful existence. A devotee is, of course, very rare, extremely rare, a pure devotee. And the pure devotee is endowed with such exceptionally attractive qualities that to be separated from such a pure devotee is extremely painful. So Ramananda Rai brings it up. So again, one can contrast these answers by the material answers that people would give in this world. A material answer for the most painful existence would be, let us say, to be deprived of one's wealth, to be deprived of one's reputation, to be blasphemed in the world, to lose one's body. You know, so these could be considered very painful from the point of view of the world. But from a Krishna conscious point of view, Ramananda Rai says, to be separated from pure devotees is the most painful thing. And then he asks, which is the best song of all? Ramananda Rai replies that any song that describes the pastimes of Radha and Krishna is the best song. Not any songs that glorify all the relationships of this world and events of this world. Next question, what is the most profitable thing in the world? It is the association of devotees. What should a person think of? The pastimes of Krishna. What is the best type of meditation? Meditation on the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Where should a person live, giving up all other pleasures? The answer is Vrindavan. Uddhava, according to Uddhava, it is the best place to live, even if one has to live as a plant or a creeper. Of course, physically it may not be possible for most people to go to Vrindavan and live, but Mahaprabhu's and Prabhupada's instruction to us is that to make our heart Vrindavan and to make the place we reside in, wherever it may be on the globe, Vrindavan, by having hearing and chanting of the names and forms and pastimes, etc., of the Lord, and being engaged in devotional service. What is the best subject to hear of? The pastimes of Radha and Krishna are the best subject to hear of. Who is the most worshipable deity? The transcendental couple Radha Krishna should be the ultimate object of worship. What is the fate of those who are after material happiness and after liberation from material bondage? Ramananda Rai's answer is, some turn into trees and attain heavenly planets where they enjoy material happiness, ultimately. So in other words, whatever degree of material happiness and position one may receive in the material world in any planet, ultimately that's going to be our destination. So after the rapid-fire questions and answers, Ramananda Rai distinguishes the cuckoo from the crow. The crows are those who don't have any taste. The crow-like people are those who don't have taste in devotional matters. Just as the crow prefers eating the bitter nimba fruit instead of some sweet fruit, similarly, materialistic people would rather relish tasting materialistic topics rather than relishing transcendental topics of Radha and Krishna, which are like the seeds of a mango. So after this, Ramananda Rai requested the Lord not to hide himself any longer, because right at the beginning of the conversation, actually, when they met first time, Ramananda Rai had told him that by Akriti and Prakriti, I can understand that you are the Supreme Lord. Akriti means the appearance and the features, and Prakriti means the behavior. So I can understand from your appearance and from your behavior that you are none other than the Supreme Lord, because such extraordinary transcendental qualities cannot exist in a human being. So now Ramananda Rai requests Mahaprabhu to not hide his form any longer. And then, being pleased, Mahaprabhu actually reveals his form as the combined form of Radharani and Sri Krishna. Upon seeing this, Ramananda Rai faints, and because he has understood the purpose of this incarnation. So Ramananda Rai was extremely fortunate. He could not bear that sight. Having seen it, he fell to the ground unconscious. So in this way, these talks, Srila Prabhupada explains, were on the highest level of love and Krishna, or love of Krishna. Some of them, the topics that were described, that were discussed between the two great personalities, have been mentioned by Kaviraj Goswami, but most of the talks could not be described. So these topics are like gold. So if one is eager to attain the higher understanding of Krishna consciousness, of life in general, one should study this conversation between Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Finally, Ramananda Rai concludes by thanking the Lord and saying that he had never thought that he would be able to speak on this subject matter. So, but the Lord had taught him this, just that he had formally taught the Vedas to Brahma from within. So ultimately, Mahaprabhu is the teacher. He has taught the student, but from within. And then he has made the student to teach him, the teacher. So this is the extraordinary discussion. It is not easy to find, even in devotional literature, even in the Vedic scriptures, discussions of this caliber and of this kind of depth. So we are very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has made available the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has actually compiled this, and that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has descended here to give us this ultimate knowledge. Thank you very much. So I think we'll stop here. I'm sorry, I'm a few minutes over time. So should we have questions?